WA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. We start this episode off with Douglas's voice submission from Victoria in Australia of a sighting from 1972, witnessed by himself and two other members of his family. Then the first of our guests is Barney from Dublin in Ireland, sharing a sighting his late father had in 1969 of a massive ball of light pulsating different colours. And then we are joined by Mike in Washington State, USA, with an unusual encounter with a dumbbell-shaped UFO that was witnessed by himself and his wife in 2013. And if you would like to get in contact with me about your encounter, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. And a big thank you to our recent Patreon supporters, and they are James, All Things PC, Timothy Senor, and Julie Meck. Thank you guys for sponsoring the podcast. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find the link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
G'day viewers, my name is Douglas Banks. I am in my late 50s. In winter in 1972, there was slight rain at the time. I was age 9 myself, and my brother was age 6, and my mother. We were walking home from my grandmother's place approximately at 10 p.m. on a Sunday night in a suburb called Fairfield Heights in outer Sydney. We were 300 metres from our home when a UFO descended on us and hovered approximately 200 metres above us and followed us. As we ran into a nearby primary school to hide under an awning, the UFO continued to hover above us for approximately 4 minutes, then slowly raised up into the low-lying cloud, then disappeared. The next morning there was a circular area where the long grass was flattened, approximately the size of a small house. Right next to the side of our house, it was 7 years ago that my brother told me he was abducted. He's reluctant to tell me anymore. I do not have any recollection of a abduction myself. We only seen the underside of the UFO, which had 3 sets of lights rotating clockwise and anti-clockwise. and in the middle of the craft was a small shaped dome about the size of a small car. I think about this encounter every day for the last 48 years. Thank you.
Welcome to the show, Barney.
How you doing?
Thank you for coming on today, and from Dublin, Ireland.
Indeed. Thanks for inviting me. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, you're very welcome. You have a sighting to share that your father had in 1969. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, Barney?
No problem at all. So my father died a few years ago, you know, so he's unfortunately not here to tell the story himself. And he probably would be quite reluctant to tell the story himself because he was quite insistent that I don't talk to anybody about it or anybody in the family doesn't, because, you know, it's in Ireland, it would be frowned on for people to talk about things like this. It's obviously over the years, things have changed a little bit. And certainly since 2017, you know, people are a bit more, let's say, free to talk about these things than they would have been certainly back in 1969. So when I was around 14 years of age, I was with my parents, and I think something must have UFO related must have been on the TV or in discussion. And my mother turned around and said to my dad, why don't you tell him about what the thing you saw? You know, my dad immediately straightened up and gave her a dirty look and said, you know, almost like, shut up, you know. And then, of course, he was at that point, he has sort of committed to it and had to tell me. And so essentially he was, again, I got the impression it was late 1969, but he was walking my mother home they'd been out for a dance. This was in the northwest part of Dublin, a fairly working class area called Cabra. And she lived on a street called Banner Road, which is this kind of curved street that winds all the way around along a canal. And so after leaving her off the house, he's walking back home to Santry, which is a couple of miles away. And as he comes up around the bend of this road up towards a T-junction with the main road called Fossa Avenue, he spies something right in front of him up in the sky. And it was a very large, luminous object. And it was amber coloured at first, you know, but it would leave amber and sort of start pulsing all these colours at a rainbow. And I recall his exact words when he said, you know, it was almost sort of colours that, you know, he didn't even realise existed, you know. And so he walked on towards the T-junction, and then he noticed there was quite a lot of people at the bottom of the street looking up at this thing. Like, so quite a crowd had assembled, because it was probably a Friday or Saturday night. So, you know, there would have been a lot of people around, you know, around midnight. And they're all looking up at this thing. And as he got closer, you know, it became very, very apparent this wasn't something banal. It wasn't something normal at all. Completely silence, just hanging there in the sky. And as he got closer, he noticed somebody that he actually knew, a friend of his. And he walked over towards him, and they were sort of looking up at this thing, saying, what the hell is this, you know? And he said it was around about the size of, a bit larger than a full moon, and about as high up, he estimated, as a plane coming into land. And so we lived reasonably near the airport, you know, so I guess he was sort of contextualizing it in that way. So probably about 1,000 feet up, maybe a little bit more. And again, just hanging there for a couple of minutes, again, on amber for the most part. And then it would just start pulsing all these different colors and then stop back in amber again, you know. And after a couple of minutes, just like snapping your fingers, he said it just shot off like a bullet out of a gun off towards the south, towards the Dublin Mountains, and stopped in the distance. And then abruptly shot off at a slightly different angle towards the Dublin Mountains again. And so they were all left there standing there, you know, going, well, what the hell was this, you know? And they're chatting amongst themselves, and they all sort of came to the unanimous conclusion that, you know, don't tell anybody about this, you know, because you'd be seen as mad, you know. So he walked off home. And then in the subsequent days, he said an article was in the paper saying, you know, UFOs over Dublin, Waterford and Wexford, I believe he said. And then he went on about his business, you know, and didn't say much more about it. I've absolutely no doubt in my mind that other people have seen this, because it would have passed over central Dublin. And on a Friday or Saturday night, there had to be more people that would have seen this thing, you know. So that's pretty much it, really.
Let's actually see if we can find that article.
Yeah, I've Googled it over the years. I couldn't find it, to be honest. And, you know, there's no knowing really what newspaper it was in and whether those records would be online, but I'd be definitely curious to try and find it.
And of course, this sparked your interest in UFOs as well.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, I think everybody's got, you know, an internal nonsense detector, you know, and you can really tell when somebody's telling you something that, you know, I guess it was his extreme reluctance to even want to talk about it, you know, was something that struck me. When he was such a sort of a vivacious person, like he'd be, you know, if anything happened to him, he'd be completely, you know, very, very keen to relate this interesting story. But that was the one time he really clammed up and he was just, you know, he was afraid perhaps that I was going to go and tell somebody about it as a kid, you know. And again, at that time, you just would never talk about those things.
No, of course. Yeah. Especially in those days. Absolutely.
Mm.
I'm sure he'd be fine now, though.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, there's a sea change, despite the fact that he's not around to strangle me anymore for talking about it. There's been a sea change, as you know, over the past couple of years. It's dramatically changed since 2017. And the subject's been given a hell of a lot more credibility than it previously had. And I guess the walls of people's reluctance to talk about it have also sort of come down a little bit, I think.
Exactly. It has helped a little bit. I mean, the tabloids haven't all changed. But slowly they're getting there, you know, because at the minute you still get a reference maybe from the X-Files or a picture of a guy dressed up as an alien. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've noticed a lot of sort of, you know, news reporting on it. I mean, surprisingly, Fox News have been extremely, you know, taken the subject very, very seriously. But you still have the sort of regional news stations who have the little chuckle before they begin the story, you know, just to sort of hedge it in that, like, ho, 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 UFOs kind of a thing. That still goes on a little bit, you're right, yeah.
I think it's also their way of kind of protecting themselves as well in a manner of speaking. But, yeah, I mean, I've started to get contact with journalists, different parts of the world, which want to kind of have a different perspective on it, you know, especially in light of all the Navy, the US Navy's releases.
For sure, yeah. There's no doubt about it. And I mean, you know, you couldn't find more credible people, particularly like Fravor and the other pilot. And one of the Wizzos came forward as well, you know, and gave the account. So, I mean, three people seeing something so strikingly different up close is it's very, very hard to argue it, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I really appreciate you coming on today. It's been wonderful talking to you.
Pleasure. Thanks for inviting me. Appreciate it.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on today and all the way from Spokane, Washington State.
Yes, sir. In beautiful America.
Excellent. Your sign occurred in October 2013. Would you like to start by letting the listeners know what you were doing and what you experienced, please, Mike?
Yes, I'd be honored. In October of 2013, I can't remember the exact day. I believe it was around the third week of October. And the reason I know it was October of 2013, because we just moved into a new place in October. And I had to go down and get my wife and pick her up from work because we had one vehicle at the time. And I just got off work. So went to go pick her up. And on our way home, she was off at 5:30. So we got home probably about, I'd say it was around close to 6, if not 6:05, give or take 10 minutes. But anyways, we live in an apartment complex, so we could either park out in the front or go into the back. Well, we went into the back part, and my wife noticed some orange lights in the sky. There were a total of 5 of them. And to give you the distance of how high they were, it's kind of hard. It was not completely dark, but it wasn't light. It was like just on the verge of being completely dark out. And looking up, the 5 orbs, they were kind of like in a zigzag line. And then the first 3 started just kind of separating. And if you were to draw like a line, you could draw a triangle out of it from dot to dot to dot. The other 2 slowly went behind and kind of took their time, if you will. And then the 3 were heading, and they were coming from the north, heading south. And being in Spokane, Washington, that's eastern Washington State of the United States of America. So if you were to follow them, it would almost seem like they're heading towards the west, like I'd say southwest, like they were at an angle. So as they're moving, the three, we just stood there and watched it. And we were probably out there for about, I mean, it lasted a while. I'd say, I'm guessing here, maybe because we were so distracted by the lights, it's not like we looked at our watch or anything. But if I was to estimate, I'd say a good probably 10 minutes, maybe 15. But anyways, we're watching, they disappeared, and the two were following behind them, but they were a lot slower. And then they started disappearing. But the last one took off. It was like it was fast. It just, we didn't see it anymore. So my wife and I stood out there for a little bit, just kind of like wondering if they're going to reappear or what. And we're looking to the southwest in the sky, and they didn't appear. So after a few minutes, we went inside. But here's the weird part, Nick. It's like something, like a feeling. I had to get back outside. I told my wife, I'm a smoker. I smoke cigarettes. So we went outside to the front, and my wife was looking to the south, and I was looking to the north. And out of nowhere, from the north, this, if everybody knows what a dumbbell is, it's like it has a ball on one end, a ball on the other, and like this long shaft part in the middle, like you're lifting weights. So this thing comes out of nowhere. I'm pointing at it, and I'm telling my wife, look, look. I didn't even think about grabbing a phone. This thing was so huge. Now, because I've worked for Boeing, I've worked on the 777. I'm in aerospace now working on, I deal with life vest boxes for airplanes and seat backs. So I know what planes are. I've worked on the rear spar at Boeing, the F part of the wings. This thing had to be, if you were to take three 777s and put them back to back to back, this thing was just as long as that, if not maybe a little longer. The height, you could actually take those 777s and stack them three high, maybe even a little more. And that's how big this thing was. Not the shaft. I'm talking the ball part on each end. That's how high it was. In the front, there was this little black slit, which looked like a window. If that's what it was, you couldn't see in it. It was dark. And remember, I mentioned earlier, it was getting dark when we saw the orbs. So at this time, it was dark. And it was like the color of it had to have been, I want to say like a copper. It's nighttime, but it could have been like a copper brass, copper gold type look. The whole craft. Now, the shaft part, if you were to take the letter U, and I hope I described this good enough, picture the letter U on the shaft part on the bottom half. Draw a line halfway through the shaft, you know, like from left to right. Take the letter U and go down from that half line to the bottom of the shaft. Then draw an upside down U connecting to the other U, and just keep doing that from one end to the other. In those lines, there was a like a beige color, not protruding outwards, but it was in the shaft, like it was part of it. It was its propulsion, if you will. But it was the direction the craft was moving. These letter U lines were facing that direction. So what I'm willing to bet is if it stopped, those letter U's would be straight up and down. So anyways, looking at the machine, this craft, whatever it is, maybe it's the biggest drone ever designed. I don't know, but it was huge. Height-wise, I'd say from the street to the sky, how high it was, I would have to say it was probably anywhere from maybe 1,000 feet to, let's stick with 1,000 feet, because it could have been under. It's too hard. We have this big tree out here, this big old pine tree, and that's probably about 100 feet. this thing was so big that it's hard to determine how high up it was. The only reason I could say putting planes using the 777s as a reference to how long and how big it was because when we were out in the back where we park, we have an airport over Spokane Airport, which is quite a few miles from where we are. But every once in a while, we'll get these planes that go by. And there's this one airplane, and I think it was a 767, that was flying by. And that was pretty low. And my wife and I looked at each other and realized just how big is like a memory shot back. And we saw this probably just a couple of years ago, this commercial airplane. And we looked at each other and realized just how big this craft was. It was tremendous. And if this is ours, meaning America's military craft of some sort. Oh, and I want to add before I forget, made no sound. It was quiet. No wings, no jet engines on the back, just out those wavy lines. That's why I'm determining that was its way of maneuvering. No ports of any sort. It was so smooth. We did see kind of a seam, what looked like a seam where you put metal together with rivets and stuff. We didn't see the rivets, but you could make out that there was like a seam near the window from one of the metals connecting to another metal. The problem is the plates, we'll call them plates just for argument's sake. Those plates had to be the size of two, maybe three 12x12 walls. Okay, so because there was no seams in between them. That's a huge piece of metal. And a crane, it could possibly do it, but that's pretty big. So I don't know. That's the best way to describe it. Like I said, it was like a copperish brass, maybe copperish gold look. Being nighttime, it's just too hard to, without seeing in daylight, what exactly the exact color was. Where was I going with this? It was heading to the south, coming from the north, and made no sound. And we saw it for a good, I would have to say maybe 6 seconds, 7 seconds, perfectly clear, if that's how big it was. No emblems, decals, nothing on it. Just perfectly smooth. Haven't seen that thing since, but that was in 2013. And I don't know, but it felt weird. You know, I had somebody ask me, because we came inside after we didn't see it anymore. And we waited a couple minutes, nothing else happened. So we went inside. But this is what's weird. We had a friend ask us who's into the UFOs, and we met with him and stuff. And he asked me, he goes, what did we have for dinner? To tell you the truth, my wife and I don't remember eating. And the more we think about it, it was 9 o'clock when we went inside because I had to work. I get up early in the morning, and it was 9 o'clock when we came in. Wrap your brain around this. We saw those orange orbs a little after 6, okay? Went in after about, 15 minutes. We'll top it at that, 10 to 15 minutes, but we'll say 15. Went inside. I got this urge. I have to go outside. So we're outside, and not even a couple minutes or so, we see this thing. That freaks me out. That makes me wonder what happened. And the reason I bring that up, a lot of you are going to think I'm probably a whack job here because you just don't talk about these things. My wife, it was like a month later, maybe 2 months later, she had a dream. And this was a Friday night going into Saturday. She had a dream. And she said she was terrified about it because when we woke up, she was telling me she had this dream that something was grabbing her by the ankle. And it was like she was levitating out of bed, like something was grabbing her by the ankle, and she was screaming my name, and she was trying to fight this thing as she's, but she couldn't move. She just, her arms could move, and it was grabbing her by the ankle. And finally she woke up just sweating and of course went back to sleep. That morning, Saturday morning, she's telling me about this dream. So I'm in bed listening to her, and she's telling me the details of how she's trying to get my attention. I wasn't listening to her, you know, and for some reason I looked down at my ankle, and my wife's my only witness to this. I had blood on it. I had blood on my ankle, like a couple spots of blood and a scratch. And since that sighting, our lives haven't been the same. It's gotten to where, that's why I was telling you, Nick, it was such a relief to get all this off my chest. I just don't care anymore. It scares the crap out of me. You know, I'm a grown man. I'm a big guy. But things that I don't understand, I feel like I have no control over. I wake up constantly between 1 and midnight in the mornings. Now, mind you, I get up at 3:30 for work, but I still wake up at those exact times, you know, around those times. I shouldn't say exact, but it's always around the 12-ish time and the 1-ish time. It just depends on daylight savings time. It don't matter. You turn the clock back, I'm up at those times, you know. My wife doesn't sleep worth a darn. My nose was busted one night in my sleep. I went to the nose, eye, throat doctor, and he asked me how my nose got broken. I told him I never broke it, you know. And he goes, "Well, your nose is deviated. It's been busted." And so I've had, and this was in 2017, mind you, January of 2017. I don't know what the heck I did. I just remember waking up, and what made me go to the doctor, set an appointment, was because, you know, when you get congested, you blow your nose and you just clear it out. I had a bunch of black stuff. It took 3 heavy blows to get it out of my nose. I mean, it was like, not to be disgusting or give bad visuals here, but I'm trying to explain what's going on. And finally getting all that stuff out, you know, it felt better, but my nose hasn't been the same. It's hard to breathe on the one side, but I never had it fixed. You know, it's like a little reminder to me, but things like that. We've been through a lot to this day. We've seen things. I've seen things. I can go on, you know. It's just, they're scary times where it freaks you out, you know, because the unexpected is what can freak out a person.
Absolutely. You probably won't be surprised, but the amount of times I'm told by people, you know, you said at the very beginning where you felt the urge to go outside. I hear it a lot where people are drawn to go outside and then they experience something, they see something. It's like you're kind of drawn to go outside.
Yes. Yeah. It draws you. It's a feeling. It's almost like you can't explain it. The only way I know how to explain it is like a strong feeling, an urge. Like I have, it's like, it's a calling, you know, like it's dragging you out there. It's not by, sure, you have the choice whether to go out that front door and look, but it's like, it's a must.
When the object approached you, did it completely pass overhead? Do you recall?
It wasn't directly overhead. It was off to my, what would be my right side. It was so, because of its size, it's hard to say if it was close. I mean, it had to have been. I mean, I just remember we were in, like, our jaws dropped. Like, what the hell is that? You know? And at first, I'm thinking our country is hiding this military stuff, you know, but why would the military fly it over to be seen? if they're trying to look like they're evenly matched with other countries. I mean, think about it. Our airplane designs, we went from World War One, well, even from the beginning of flight, you know, to world, we had the double wing planes in World War One. In World War Two, it went to single. A little bit more aerodynamic. World War Two went to 1950, the development of jets. In the 50s to the 70s, went to the cone, still the jets, but went to the cone shape, you know, and all of a sudden, nothing. Our design stopped in the 70s. Even, I mean, to this day that we know of, all designs are still cone and jets. You would think after 50 years, you know, there'd be another advancement. So I do think it's something, I don't know. I don't know. Just a lot of weird stuff in our life has happened. So my wife swears it's probably, she thinks it's something from somewhere else. I'm thinking, I'm trying to be logical here, that it's military, but who knows?
You know, you're an aerospace man. You know your vehicles. A shape like this, what purpose would that serve if it was U.S. related?
If it was U.S. related, a shape like that and flying the way it did can definitely serve both atmosphere, in the atmosphere here, flying in our skies, and space.
It's certainly a unique shape.
Yeah, it had no, for such a sleek, I guess if you can call it sleek, because it was beautiful. I mean, it was so smooth, you know, it's like it was put together well. But for being so sleek, there was no turrets that we saw. There was no, now, mind you, these days, even our like F-22 Raptor, you know, the missiles are kept inside. So you wouldn't really know it unless you really got up close and looked, you know, or if you saw a picture of that airplane, you could see where that hatch is. But this thing, it was a peaceful looking craft. I mean, it was beautiful, but I saw that picture you showed me from that other person that saw in that other country, I believe it was a dumbbell. That shaft, the one I saw was bigger, the shaft part. It was like half the size of the ball on each side. It was evenly proportioned. That whole craft was built perfect.
When you get a chance, would it be possible for yourself and your wife to maybe draw what you remember?
Yeah, I could do that. Again, it's all you're doing, though, is just drawing a dumbbell with the wavy lines on the shaft and the little slit. And I mean, it's not like I have coloring pencils to color in and do the night sky. You know what I mean? On the letter U's, the wavy lines, that's what I'm assuming, because it was beige. It was like an off-white, maybe beige. So it was totally different than what the craft color was. So I'm assuming that was its engine, its propulsion, you know, it's what gave it its energy.
And that was the only dream your wife had?
That I know of, yes. I mean, she's had like your typical dreams, but for scary, yeah, this one.
There hasn't been any changes, anxiety or anything like that?
You know, crazy you should say that. Her shoulder, she had a tear in one of her shoulders. Then she had a tear in the other one, all happening in her sleep. And then I know she's had a hip problem. Like I said, before this sighting, we were great. After this sighting, our lives just turned around. I had a tear in my right shoulder. She even made fun of me. Saying we're twinsies, but I had a tear there. Better now, but my nose that I told you about here, and off the top of my head, I can't really think of other things except just the waking up and seeing more stuff down the line, you know, up until this day.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
But nothing has happened out of the ordinary the last couple of years.
Physically, no. Just the, like I said, the terror. But other than that, no. Now, if you want to talk sightings.
You've seen more recently.
Oh, yeah, Nick. That's all. Yeah, that's that's an understatement. But they're not your, what was it, just here about maybe a month and a half ago. We were outside, and this was about 9 o'clock. We saw something. If you took a lead pencil that hasn't been sharpened yet, and if you stuck it between your thumb and your main finger and held the pencil in front of you where it's the length of it's from left to right, from your, like, past your left eye, past your right eye, and held that to the sky, we saw this one object. We reported it to, it's on the, that Peter Davenport, our sighting's on there, UFO Center or whatever it's called. We saw that thing and it was almost like it was invisible. I mean, if it wasn't for me looking up, we would have missed it, but that was directly over us. And it was kind of same, like a brownish, but the only reason you knew it was brown, I would have missed it if I didn't look up. I mean, because something out of the corner of my eye caught it. It was like it was blended in well to the night, but it had a brown, like a brownish haze, almost like it was invisible. You can kind of see, but I don't know how to explain it. Like I said, I'm going to sound like a whack job. This thing, though, was going from the east to the west. And we do have a military base out here, and that was the direction it was flying towards. So I'm thinking that was it. But the width of it was the size of that pencil, if you were holding that pencil like I described in front of you.
Gotcha.
That's pretty big.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
There was another time where, this was about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, somewhere in there, trying to remember all these. Out in the back here, we can't smoke on our patio. It's against the policy here. So we have to go outside in the parking lot or out front where the cars are. I went in the back and I was just standing there looking up and what a satellite would look like, you know, going across the sky where the sun's hitting it at night. You know, you see it kind of bright. You could see it kind of morph. And I started watching it. And it was like, nothing really caught my attention about it except for a satellite going across the sky until it started. Now, remember, it was going the speed of what a satellite does. But then it started like getting a little bigger. But it was like kind of morphing into a little bigger. That's the best way to describe it. And then it stopped. And the front part looked like it looked back. I know it's hard to believe, but the front part, like it twisted, like it was looking back, like to see if I was watching it. And that I literally took off inside. It's real though. There's stuff out there we don't know. And it's scary when it happens to you.
Of course, because Washington State is very, very active. What are your main concerns, Mike, about it?
About the whole, I wish we had our life back. I wish we always find ourselves now when we go outside, we have to look up. We have to look up. It's like it's a mandatory thing, like an addiction, you know, and we just want our lives back. We didn't learn nothing from this, except there's some weird stuff going on that we can't explain.
Would you be looking for the answers? Would you want to know if there's more to it?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, if there is something out there, because let me ask you this. Let's say you're walking down the street and you were approached, say, by an alien. What's the first thing that you would do? You wouldn't go, "Hey, how are you?" Your eyes would go very wide open. You would be in shock at first because you've never seen anything like that before. So that's kind of how, not to that extreme, because there was nothing right in front of us standing face to face that we know of. But when you see a craft that big, and you've worked on big crafts before, you are not used to, when it's going through the sky, and it's a simple design. That's the other thing. It's so simple. That's why I think it may be military, but I can't explain the things that have happened in our life from that point to this day. So if you came across something like that, and then you're having all of a sudden where you can't sleep at night, and well, maybe you got apnea. I don't have apnea. Okay. I'm just frustrated that it's whatever it is has affected us. But if something came about where I could verify, okay, it's not American. It's something from out there. If I knew that for sure, I'd be at a little bit at ease, but then I'd be probably even more terrified. Like, hey, who do you tell? You know, they'll lock you up in a psych ward, you know, if it's something from out there. I think there used to be a Lisa out here with MUFON. Matter of fact, that's where I reported this case too, the 2013 one. But because I didn't want public seeing it, I did it as anonymous. You know, it's just that you don't want to tell people about this. Like I said, they think you're crazy. You don't want it affecting your life, your career, you know, and what you do.
You've got your career to think about.
Yes.
And it can be sometimes detrimental to it. And you don't ever recall experiencing anything prior to 2013?
A lot of dreams. Remember a dream... I feel like I'm getting too personal here, but I've already been personal. So when I was in my probably late teens, I had a dream of this face in the sky, and I was on my knees crying. And there were these trees with a street light, and the face in the sky, best way to describe it, was like a alien face. It had big eyes, but the mouth had like a little slit, like a little slit. But the face was revolving. And if you were to draw from the top of the head down the center of the face, there was a line, and then a line going diagonal to the left, and a line going diagonal to the right, from that line going from the top down to the center. But the face was shifting, but yet it kept the same look. It's hard to explain. And I just remember crying, saying, I don't want to die, and stuff like that. And dreams like that, you know, which I thought were normal, you know, for a kid. I know, as I'm an adult, I know it's not normal. But when you're a kid, you know, like I was telling you how I watched The $6 Million Man, you know, or you watch all these shows, you think you're just dreaming of shows that you saw, you know, when you're a kid, or the imagination takes over. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I do. What about animals? Have you got pets?
Yeah, we have. Oh, yeah. We have a cat. My wife's looking at me right now. One night, our cat was meowing, and this was around 12, like I told you, around 12-ish. The cat was, it sleeps on our bed at the end, and it was meowing constantly. It woke me up, and it was looking down our little hallway from the door, you know, from the bed where you look out the door and you see the hallway. I couldn't see it because we're at the other end of, it's a 12 by 12 room. So the end of the bed, if the cat's there, it could see down the hall. And it's meowing and meowing. And I just remember telling the cat, shut up, you know, and kind of nodded it with my foot and fell back asleep. But then that morning, you know, it's like my wife and I were talking about it. Maybe we should have looked. You know, you don't think of that. You're half awake. You know you need to sleep. Like I said, we don't sleep that good. So there was that encounter with our cat. And it does do weird. it does these weird. And our cat ain't weird by any means. But I wish I could read its mind or what it's thinking. But sometimes it'll just look up and meow. You know, and then it will. Like it's moving its head, looking up, going meow, you know, just it's weird and trippy, scary, you know, makes you nervous, but there's nothing there. So you think the cat, okay, is just tripping out on whatever.
What about the area where you live? Is it like a suburban area?
More rural, right?
Yeah,
I would say more rural.
I know it's probably, this is something which plays on your mind because it's answers, isn't it? And not knowing.
Yeah, it's the not knowing that messes with us and the other little things in between, you know. As long as I wake up in the morning, I'm good to go.
Yeah, gotcha.
I appreciate this, Nick. Thank you for letting me get it off my chest.
Well, this is what the show's for, you know. This is what it's all about. Like I said, you listen to open-minded people. And, you know, you'll be surprised the amount of people which actually do have very, very similar experiences to this in general.
Right.
Whatever the reason is, whether like you're saying, whether it's our lot or it's something else.
No, I get it. And, you know, it's just, I just had enough. I finally had to get it out. And, you know, the only people that know these things are my wife and I, you know, except for the other things I've mentioned about the little explosion in the sky, you know, and that we had a neighbor witness. But it's like, it's something we have to work through, something we have to do, you know, to get through this. And I'm sure one day, you know, we'll get our answers, but yeah, just takes time.
It takes time, but yeah, but don't let this play a part where it's on your mind constantly. You're constantly doubting because it is weird. You know, it affects you emotionally.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, sometimes you can get answers, sometimes you can't. Unfortunately, it's frustrating.
Oh, I agree.
Because obviously when it was more than just a sighting, you know, you've had certain effects afterwards.
The breaking of the nose or the deviated nose, I don't know. I've never been hit in the face. So not even in my younger days. So it's like, how do you not, if I did it in my sleep, would I have not woken up from it? Because the pain. Get what I'm saying? There should have been pain. You know?
As far as you are, just note down anything that does happen, which is a bit odd. Again, that could be something, could be nothing. But don't let it play a part in your life where you're constantly questioning everything.
Yeah, it's easier said than done.
I know, you know? I know it is.
People have to know this stuff, you know? And they have to, because especially the people out there, you know, that have gone through this or gone through something that they can't understand, they're not alone. You know, they're not. You know, my wife and I are the proof of that, you know, so maybe it will help them to understand. I hope they understand.
Well, thank you for coming on today and sharing your encounters. Mike, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it.
keep in contact, okay?
I will. Thank you again.
That is all for today. Thank you to Mike, Barney, and Douglas for sharing their experiences, and thank you for listening. Don't forget to keep updated with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I will be back next week with more encounters of the strange and unexplained. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.